What a joy it is in the 11 years I've been your pastor to get to know Daniel. He's grown. He's been through challenging times, and the Lord continues to use him in his country of Haiti. So, Daniel, why don't you share a bit with us?
Good morning. Speaking about an old friend, I just turned 39 yesterday. So it's true that I'm actually getting old. I'm married to my beautiful wife, Madeline, and we've got three children. Taylor is 6, Madeline is 4, and then we have a 20-month-old Esau. Thank you for supporting Starfish Ministries in Haiti. I know this church has committed to that. We thank you very much. And if you've read or have watched any news about Haiti, then you know that things are messed up down there now. Back in February, the country was in what I called a no trespassing mode. You know, so you couldn't leave the city of Port-au-Prince to go to Gonaïves or to go to Grosmont where I work. I got stuck in the city for about 2 weeks. Couldn't go to Tricot. But while in Port-au-Prince, I tried to make good use of my time. Because when you see all the things that are happening in the world, I just saw the video, then you want to ask the question, couldn't God, you know, fix all the problems in the world? And of course, if you believe in God, you know the answer to that is yes, he can. But will he? I'm afraid not. He's not going to. And we need to understand that. Jesus, the Son of God, came here and he did not solve all the problems of the world. But you know what he did? He fulfilled his mission. He did what his Father wanted him to do. And that's my word for you this morning. All the problems around you are not going to be solved. But what God wants you to do is to be faithful in doing whatever it is that you believe he would want you to do. That's your part of the job. And our job is to spread the good news. Let's continue to do that. Let's love one another till he comes. Thank you.
Amen. Perfect segue into our passage in Colossians chapter 1. Let's turn there and let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we ask now that you would help us as we go to your word. We thank you for the clarity and its power, and we ask, Lord, that we would be drawn close to you. Thank you, Lord, for prayer and the opportunity that we have to speak with you powerfully, intimately. So grant us wisdom as we look at this today. In Christ's name, amen. Well, here's a quote by a great believer, Oswald Chambers. Prayer is the vital breath of the Christian, not the thing that makes him alive, but the evidence that he is alive. Someone told me that the greatest barometer of the health of your Christian life is your prayer life. I think it's probably your prayer life and your love for the Word, because both of those resonate in communicating with God. It would be a peculiar thing if I jumped in a car with my wife and we were going to go on a vacation to Monterey. And I would determine, without telling her beforehand, that I'm not going to have any conversation with her. She asked me a question, I ignore her. Normally we talk about the beautiful something going on, and I just say, no, I'm going to do my thing. It would be peculiar, wouldn't it? In fact, peculiar would not be the word. We get about halfway or a quarter of the way down there, she says, what's up? So part of it is with the Lord, he's so patient. He's saying, hey, what's up? When do we stop talking? There's that old song in the 70s, you don't send me flowers anymore. You know? I remember my first prayer. My parents taught me how to pray. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. God bless mommy and daddy and Mark and Paul and Lisa and all my friends. They help me to be a good boy. Amen. Not bad, you know. But I realize this, is that prayer, if it in fact is the most powerful blessing we have, we get to talk to God, and he says, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. So once again, what Oswald Chambers says, prayer is the vital breath of the Christian, not the thing that makes him alive, but the evidence that he is alive. And so the question is that by your prayer life and my prayer life, would people have a sense that I'm spiritually alive or not? So here's what we want to talk about. In fact, let's go ahead and start reading verses 9 to 12, and I'll throw in a little bit more. Here we go. For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in every respect, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, and joyously giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Now, we're going to show you here. If I was teaching a hermeneutics class or a homiletics class in Africa, the group of people I talked to, there, I would tell them, here's how to break down a passage, okay? So we go up here, and here's the main... Oh, do I have it on here? All right. Actually, there's no aircraft above me. Okay, good. Okay, here we go. For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and ask. And here's the prayer, that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will. Then it says specifically under that, that with all spiritual wisdom and understanding. So we'll break that down. And it goes, then it breaks it down even more. You do this so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. What is a manner worthy? Please him in all respect, bear fruit, increase in knowledge of God. Then another prayer. Strengthen with all power according to his glorious might for attaining to all steadfastness and patience. We'll break that down in a moment. And then the attitude, joyously giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints. Then he breaks that down in verses 13 and 14. That's how it works. And sometimes breaking it down that way is extremely helpful to really get to the point. So go to the next slide and we'll leave it there. All right. We want to find the issue then that this is potentially one of the most clear and powerful prayers of how to pray for other people. And so I'll pick on someone here. Who's in front? I'll get Brian. Oh, Lord, bless Brian today. May he have a good day today. Bless him. Keep him safe. That's a good prayer. God bless him. But God said, I already promised to bless Brian. You know. So he's appreciating, and I'm praying for him. Bless him, Lord. That's kind of vague, isn't it? You know. So Paul takes the vagueness out of it. So here's, we want to break this down. The essence of an essential and powerful prayer. And here's where it starts. It starts with praying for the Colossian church that they may know the will of God. Once again, for this reason, since we heard of it, heard of what? Heard of their salvation. All right? Now we go back early and we see the same word. Since verse 4, since we heard of your faith in Jesus Christ, your love and your hope and your love and hope. So once again, for this reason, since we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. So here we see the issue of prayer that Paul had for his friends, that it was an unceasing prayer. He prayed for them all the time. And so that's convicting to me, because it reminds me that I need to pray more diligently, more frequently. It's a great thing. If someone comes to my mind, well, maybe that's the Spirit of God prompting me to pray. Pick another person. Joel's back there. Hey, Joel. So Joel comes to my mind. Well, Lord, I don't know why Joel came to my mind today, but I just pray right now that you would strengthen him. And here's a great way to pray for people. So he is strengthened, here we go, once again, that they may understand in the knowledge of the will of God. Jesus taught us how to pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And so part of it is that they may learn in our prayer, as we're praying for people, they may learn to the thy will be done part. Not trying to get out of it, you know. Well, Lord, I know thy will means this and this and this, but I don't really want to do that. So you're trying to wait for God to change his mind. Ought to be saying, once again, thy will be done. The first object of prayer is not so much to speak to God as to listen to God. And there's where we have where the commands of his word and prayer go hand in hand. Lord, I don't know if I should get violently angry at my neighbor. He already answered that one, all right? He already told you, don't do that, all right? So the issue is you may confess, oh, Lord, I'm tempted to be violently angry toward my neighbor. Please help me. Now, that's a good prayer. But ultimately this is that it's the knowledge of the will of God. And this is what is these people are brand new believers, and this is something for all of us. We must learn what it means to allow God to be God. He's the king, and you are not. Okay, so he's the king, and I am not. So you get a point. Point to heaven. He's the king, and I am not. If you reverse that, I'm the king, and he's not, then we got problems. That's how every problem, the problems in Scripture have to do with someone trying to say, no, I can do whatever I want. My will be done. And so we see here, he prays, once again, that they may be filled with the knowledge of his will. How? In all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Let me break that down. The Greek word for wisdom, spiritual wisdom, is sophia, which means a description of the knowledge of first principles, the most basic principles of spiritual life, faith, hope, love. All right? Basic principles. The understanding is the Greek word synesis, which means the understanding of how to apply those principles, right? Now, anyone here ever go to medical school? All right, no, I never did, but I went to a medical school library one time. And you can buy some books. And I got to say this, they are very expensive books. Big old book, anatomy book, and you read it and all this kinds of stuff. And I want to let you know that a couple years ago, spent quite a bit of time perusing through a very expensive anatomy book. I kind of understand how it works. And I'd like to do surgery on you tomorrow. Those are the two words, right? I've known a lot of very brilliant people, men and women. Well, very brilliant theologians, great writers. But they had little understanding as to how to apply that in a gracious and merciful way. That's why They were surprised. They were amazed at Jesus. He was one filled with grace and truth. So this is how he's praying. Oh Lord, that they would grow in their knowledge of your will for their life. Did you know there are some basic issues of will, of direction, but there are then some specific ones. And so you aren't called to live my life, and I'm not called to live your life. We're supposed to encourage each other in that. But ultimately, here's the prayer. The prayer is that they would grow in the knowledge of God's will with all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Now, then it says, why do we do that? Go back to the other passage, okay? The one I broke down. So that you can walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. Right? If you say, Lord, thy will be done. Help me to understand the basic principles. That's wisdom. Help me to grow in understanding how to apply that wisdom so that I can walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. Not so the opposite of worthy is what? Unworthy. Okay, I don't want to walk in an unworthy manner. And so how do I learn that? Well, I learn it by communicating with God. I grow in his will with all wisdom and understanding. So, once again, I can walk in a manner, pleasing him in all respects. Wouldn't that be great? That in every aspect of your life, your attitude, your thought life, your resources, how you raise your kids, your grandkids, how you do your business, how you interact with people, in all ways pleases him. Wouldn't that be, isn't that a great goal? Yeah, is that what I'm doing right now? Probably not, no. I got a long way to go, so do you. So that's why we got to keep close to the Lord, right? Bearing fruit in every good work. So I'm growing in wisdom and understanding so that I can walk in a manner worthy, so that I can please him in all things and I can bear fruit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, all those things, right? That comes because he's the Lord and I'm not. He's helped me to understand the elementary principles spiritually, faith, hope, and love, and then put them into practice. That's understanding. Okay. And increasing, there we go, in the knowledge of God. Greek word there, gnosko, it's an experience of knowledge, experiential knowledge. It's just not reading a book about it. It's growing in a relationship with the Lord. It's not so that you can do well in Jeopardy or Trivial Pursuit regarding God. Do you know him? It's growing. Now, Sue and I, we've been married 40 years. We've got 41 coming up. And it's my prayer that I would never get to the point where say, well, gee, I got this all dialed in, right? I know everything I can know about my wife. It's not possible. Why? Because experience is a fluid thing. I'm 62. She's 61. We've never been there before, so we're all learning, right? But we're learning together. So the issue with God is as you walk through life and the challenges of life and the things that kind of throw you a curveball, you learn and grow. Here's an example. Great baseball player, Matt Williams, used to play for the Giants, right? You know, when he first came up from the minors, he was terrible. He could not hit a curveball. And so the other pitcher said, well, if you want to get Matt Williams out, just throw him a curveball. So you know what he did? He figured it out. He sat down with the coach, figured out here's how to hit a curveball. You got to wait, do this, whatever. I never hit a curveball before, but you know, he figured it out. And that guy became an all-star. He became the most valuable player. Why? Because we can grow. And we can grow in our knowledge of the Lord. There's no way we'll figure it all out tomorrow because he's infinite. So you may be going through something right now you don't completely understand. Pain, suffering, challenges, fog. That's part of the deal. You got to hang in there. That's part of the wisdom. If God is all-knowing, all-powerful, all-everything, then how can I possibly, in a moment, understand it? But, you know, here's a promise it tells me in the book of Corinthians. One day, I will know fully just as I am fully known. And I'm sure they'll be in heaven and go, wow, really? That's how it worked? You know? Okay. Moving on here. So that's where the knowledge, once again, it breaks it down so that we have this increased, the manner worthy is please him, fruit, and growing in our relationship with him. Now, you can't do that by yourself. So there's a next prayer, which is strengthen with all power according to his glorious might. You cannot live the Christian life without his power. Without the power of the Holy Spirit. I've tried. It doesn't work. So don't try it, you know. We've all tried it at some point. We can make it with our own pizzazz. I got enough gas in the gas tank. I can make it through. We can make it on our personality. We can make it out. Whatever resources we have, body, soul, and spirit. But here's what the Lord. You cannot make it without the strength of the Lord. Now, the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 4 put it this way. He says, I have learned the secret of contentment. And then he, at the end in verse 13, goes, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. The strength to go through all things must come from God. Have you ever been to that spot in your life or your family's life? You go, Lord, I don't know how we're going to make it. I have. I'm kind of in the midst of some of that stuff now. Tuesday was a challenging day. We go down to the oncologist. I don't know what he's going to say. You know, okay, you got to have, 50 things of chemo or radiation and do da-da-da-da-da. Okay. And it was, no, it's this kind and this kind. And because of that, it would probably not be as productive to do chemo now. So what we're going to do is watch you for 5 years. You know, X-ray, then CAT scan, X-ray, CAT scan. And that's kind of, I mean, a lot of you are underneath that same thumb, right? You got to go back, you know. And but part of it is I didn't know, driving down there, I wasn't sure, Lord. And so here's my prayer. Lord, grant us the grace we need to get through anything. No matter what we hear, it doesn't change the nature of God. It doesn't change the nature of wisdom, of faith, hope, and love. Yeah. And so anyways, that's one of the things we learn. Now, part of it is that, once again, we must rely on his power. And how do we get his power? Well, I think we get power, and I could quote verses, we get power from his word. We get power through prayer and connecting with him. But also we get power by being with each other. It's the encouragement, because it's the where two or more are gathered, I'm there in your midst. And so it's very interesting when we go through struggles in our life. Here's what I've noticed that Christians do. They stay away from the word, they don't pray, and they stay away from fellowship. The very things that God has put there to help you with the spiritual power and graces you need. All right? Now, he says, let me break this down some more. Here we go. Strengthen with all power according to his glorious might. It's not your might. It's his glorious might. Paul says the same thing in Philippians 4:19. For, get this power, for obtaining steadfastness and patience. All right? Let's break those two down. And not that I'm going to geek out by here's a Greek word for that, because it's written in English and that's good. But there are two very important words. The Greek word for steadfastness is hupomone, which is really the word for fortitude, or being able to bear up under a load of something, a load of bad stuff, load of pressure. You're bearing up on their circumstances. So God's going to give you the strength to bear up through circumstances that just kind of come your way. Tells us in Peter, some of these temptations or trials comes, as though some strange thing has fallen upon you. Sometimes you go, wow, where did that come from? That's a hupomone. Lord, strengthen them, strengthen the church, strengthen those young believers so that they can hang in there through the circumstances of life. If I had you raise your hand for each person here who's gone through some difficulty or is currently in a difficulty under the pressures of life, every one of us would raise our hands. And some of you may be in a place where you feel like your back or your soul is breaking under the pressure. That's why Paul prayed for them. So we pray for people that they would strengthen his glorious might under the pressures of life. So that's the word hubomone. And the next one is the word patience is macrothumia. Macro means large. Thumia means hot. So it's just, or big. So it means basically, or long. It means basically in our vernacular, if I said that that Doug has a short fuse, that means what? He gets angry quick, right? The word here means, long fuse. So that's one of the words. Basically this is that we are to have a long fuse with people. We are to be patient with people. He said, well, yeah, but you don't know. I said, I didn't write the Bible. Yesterday I was ready to, I don't know what I was, reading on Hope Nowak Forte's page, and she was posting some stuff about some really gracious stuff that a congressman was said during Congress about her husband who had been his intern and so on and so forth. And someone posts something like, well, how come this congressman is wasting their time? You know, they should be doing their job and not doing eulogies for people who probably are just big donors. I thought, man, well, how wicked is that? And I started getting all weirded out from the wickedness. It never happens to you, right? Friends, I mean, everyone, here we go. The world is wicked. People can be wicked. The heart is desperately wicked. You know what the Lord tells me? Don't answer a fool in his folly, that I may grow in wisdom. If I would have I wanted to wade in and, you know, and slay this person with my great rhetoric, you know, but you know what? The Bible says don't answer a fool in their folly. So I didn't. I just prayed, oh Lord, that person doesn't get it. I pray that they will get it. Not judgment, you know, that was down deep somewhere, you know. You know. But I had to turn that over. Lord, the Lord has been gracious. Hasn't the Lord been gracious to you? Okay, God, Jesus said, extend grace. Forgive, like I've forgiven you. So the two things, once again, break it down. May be filled with the will of God. How? With spiritual wisdom and understanding. Why? So that you may walk in a manner worthy. Break that down. Pleasing in respect, bearing fruit, growing in your knowledge of God. That the strength's got to come from His power. That you may obtain steadfastness, hupomone, and patience, macrothumia. Okay, now interesting here, if you look at verse 11. Strengthened with all power, according to His glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience. Then it says, joyously. When they broke down the Bible into verses, I think they stole the word joyously. It should have been in the next verse. But then when the Bible was written, there were no chapters and verses. So it really should read, joyously giving thanks to the Father. In the midst of our steadfastness, hupomone, and our patience with people, that we are to joyously give thanks to the Father. That's also how He prayed for people. So go to the next slide. So here's a breakdown of prayers. Knowledge of God, wisdom and understanding, proper conduct, spiritual strength, patience, long-suffering, joy, and thanksgiving. Now go back to the other one. Friend, I want to challenge you. If you want to learn how to pray for yourself and pray for your friends, pray for your family, pray for this church, read in the epistles, that's the prison epistles, how Paul prayed for the church. And this is one of them. This should impact how we pray for each other. Oh Lord, that I would grow in all, and Philippians says, all knowledge and depth of insight. Lord, that I would grow, that I would never stop growing in my love relationship with Jesus Christ. Period. And doing that, not just so that I'm the smartest guy in the class, but so I'm the most fruitful. I want to be fruitful. I want to do all things. I want to live a life that is bringing glory to Him, bearing fruit, getting to know Him more and more every day. Strengthened by Him so that I can have fortitude, steadfastness, not be crushed under the pressures of life. And next, that I may not be crushed, my joy robbed by other people. Joyously giving thanks. Now next week we'll talk about this great verse. Look at this. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints of light. We give thanks because He has qualified us. One of the great thrills of my, a minor thrill in my life. I was in the Oakland airport and people were being testy because they had overbooked the flight, right? And there was a person being very rude to the ticket person. And I felt compelled to say, you know, it's not her fault that it's overbooked. And I thought the guy was going to fight me. You know, I just thought, I needed to come to her defense because the guy was being belligerent. And they really should have called for security. I said, you know, it's not her fault. And the guy looks at me, who do you think you are? I said, I'm nobody. I'm just saying you're beating up on this lady and it's probably not cool. That's what I said. You know, I mean, sometimes you just got to say stuff, right? Sometimes you don't need to say stuff. Wisdom. That's wisdom and understanding, okay? There we go. So I get up there, and I'm checking in. She goes, thank you. And then she upgrades me to first class. I'm going, I didn't read a book on it. Hey, here's how to get upgraded. Only time in my life has ever happened, you know? I got to say this in closing. It's an understatement. We've been upgraded. We were lost in the kingdom of darkness, in bondage. And next week we'll find out the only way we could be set free is because of who Jesus Christ is. You want to learn how to pray? Read the epistles of Paul. Read the prayers of Jesus. But this is a good one. This is a good one. Back to the list now. Here we go. Knowledge. We pray for knowledge, wisdom and understanding, proper conduct, spiritual strength, patience, long-suffering, joy, and thanksgiving. Back to the issue of knowledge. We pray for ourselves and pray for one another, that we would accept the will of God for our life. Amen. Great quote, last quote. Here we go. Leonard Ravenhill, great missionary. If weak in prayer, we are weak in everything. If weak in prayer, we are weak in everything. I share this with you. Basically, here's the first prayer that I'm guaranteed that God heard. For my life. I'm sure He sees everything, but I know. I fell down in the front room of my house at age 16. In the fog of my own sin, and I cried out, Jesus, if you're there, please save me. God heard that prayer. And ever since that day, I know this. He longs to hear from me. Every day, every moment. Every aspect of our lives. That's the sense of a effective prayer. Let's just do it. Just pray. And God will work. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we know this, is that our first cry and our last cry must be to You. We lift up those in our church family suffering loss right now. We ask Your comfort. In the midst of that, Lord, strengthen them in the inner man. Help us, Lord, to come alongside and provide comfort and strength and whatever we need to be. But in our own lives, Lord, that we would be committed to Your will. We love You, Lord, and thank You. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, let's stand up and sing. We're going to sing In My Life, Lord, Be Glorified. And remember on the way out that we'll have a retiring offering for the people in Niger. If you need to write a check, you can write that to the church, and we will actually send it off to Aslan's Child. That's Pastor John Ramey's ministry that will help support this. In my life, Lord, be glorified. In my life, Lord, be glorified, be glorified. In my life, Lord, be glorified today. Heavenly Father, thank you for your patience with us. And we know you want to hear from us and talk to us all the time. So, Lord, help us to grow in the knowledge of your will for us. Help us to grow in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, that we may be able to walk in a manner worthy of the gospel, worthy of Jesus, that we may bear fruit. Lord, that we may grow in our good deeds, that we may every day grow in our relationship with you. We rely upon your strength, Lord. So help us, Lord, to grow in steadfastness and fortitude. And help us, Lord, to grow in patience with one another. And we give you the glory and we thank you joyously in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have a great day.